10 seconds. All right. You know what it is? You know who it is? We're back with another podcast. Today we're going to be talking about practitioners. How to be a practitioner, what a practitioner is. I got Derek here.
Yo.
So today we got an 18-minute AMTAP. We're going to get going because it's going to be obviously a little bit shorter here. So we're going to get into the what and the why.
As we discuss in this AMTAP, as much talking as possible. So we're specifically speaking about fitness practitioners or instructors today. Why we use the title practitioner or instructor as opposed to just personal trainer. And that's not to belittle personal training. It's a very important part of delivering fitness to people. So we don't want that to be misinterpreted here. But earlier on, before starting this today, I Googled practitioner just to give you an objective reference. Practitioner is a person actively engaged in an art, discipline, or profession. So in terms of what it is that we do and why it's so relevant to us to refer to ourselves as practitioners is we are actively engaged in this work of fitness. We do it every day. This is our life. And having the opportunity to share it with people is what we do. So to refer to ourselves as practitioners, that's how I would define it. We are immersed in the industry of fitness and we live it on a day-to-day basis.
So getting into the why, my why, a practitioner should be aiming to gain knowledge and experience in a field, and speaking on myself, fitness, and be able to know what someone's feeling physically and emotionally while going through the things that we're going through. So losing weight, gaining weight, lifting weight, injuries, problem like mental problems or things going on outside of here, what it feels like to have to lift 300 pounds when you're everything outside of your life is like crashing around you, or when everything's going really good and how it feels to do that and how to guide people down that path and make them know that the person they're trusting, make them know the person that they're trusting has been through it and that they can essentially, like I said, trust that person to take them down the right path. So we have a couple questions.
Yeah,
you saw the Instagram question earlier. So this is going to be cool. So we're going to get into the first question. So our first question is from Amy Henges.
What's up, Amy?
From Instagram. And her question is, do you have to have a certain degree or certification to be a fitness practitioner? So I'm going to start, and then I'll let you get into it.
Yeah, and I'll do it.
So at my opinion, a practitioner shouldn't be looked at in terms of earning a title, quote unquote, earning a title. It should just be something that you're kind of doing on a day-to-day basis. So we should be aiming just to be a practitioner. I don't think there is a certification or a class that you can take that teaches you how to be a practitioner. I mean, something like this is going to give you the awareness of maybe what two practitioners sound and feel like. But I think it's something that you should just be aiming for, not earning a title of a practitioner.
I like that. I like that. It's almost like it's not an end, you know, like you received some sort of certification, a piece of paper, you finished a weekend course, and now you're an instructor. Now you're a practitioner. Now, you know, you've made it. So I think that that's a good point, Brandon. Now, first and foremost, I just want to thank Amy for her question. We are often pushing people to ask us these questions and challenge us. And we mean that genuinely. It's fun for us to kind of think about putting this stuff out there and hoping that you guys like it or are engaged as an audience. But the best way to get some points across and help put forth this mission of fitness and bringing it into as many people's lives as possible is to get that feedback from you guys. So everyone that asks a question, genuinely, thank you. Amy, thank you for your question. So looking at, is a certification a requirement to be a practitioner or instructor? To my knowledge, the answer is no. Now, there are a lot of different bodies in terms of the fitness industry. So I'm referring to like different facilities, what they might require in terms of what their standard is. they may require certification. But in terms of any sort of legality, to my knowledge, the answer is no. That being said, what comprises a practitioner or an instructor, I'm going to have to agree with Brandon here and say that it's someone who makes it their lifestyle. This is something that they do for a living and they practice it. Practitioner practices. They are actively engaged in what this is, going back to the definition that I read initially. So in terms of being a practitioner or instructor, I think the most important thing that you can bring to the table is that it is your passion and that you are eager to each and every day dive into it and do more and more and more.
Yeah, and I think that, like I said, it shouldn't be viewed as something that you're aiming, like Derek kind of said, it's not an end all, but it's something that obviously every day you should be aiming to get a little bit better at. But yeah, I guess that answers the question, hopefully.
Did we say it was 18 minutes long?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
And to have 18 minutes.
All right. So we'll get into the second question, which is also from Amy. Can you still be a good coach and help people without being a practitioner? So I'll start again. I would think that if you're a coach or instructor of a specific field, speaking about fitness in general, you have to be a practitioner. And because there are so many aspects, like I kind of said, the why, like my why, is because there's so much involved in fitness emotionally and physically that if you're not a practitioner, you're not going to lead people down the path they need to go, or you're just not going to have the experience needed. And there's going to be mistakes that could be avoided if you were just practicing this for yourself on a daily basis. But there's so much that affects a person's performance and health that you have to be a practitioner, in my opinion. I don't think you are going to be a bad coach if you're not a practitioner, because like I said, the practitioner is not a label. It's just like a form of something you're aiming for. But I'd answer no and yes. No, because it's tough, because if you're not practicing this every day, you're not going to be great at what it is that you do. But yes, because there is a way to be good at it if you're not practicing it every day. Because there is knowledge that you can have from other aspects of fitness, from like school and stuff like that, that can get you enough to get by.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty well put, Brandon. And the only thing that I would really add to it is, if you want to be good at something, just be positive. Encourage people. Help guide them in whatever way that you can. And if you can't, admit that. Because with that vulnerability, you're going to share a side of yourself that they will learn from, and that will remain positive. So just keep it positive.
Yeah. All right. Question 3 from Steve.
Yeah, what up, Steve?
What up, Steve? So his question is, how do you stay motivated to work out when you spend all day at the gym? So I think this is something we kind of indirectly touched on. But if you're going to be a practitioner, you have to love what you do. Because if you don't love what you do, you're not going to put the time in 100% towards what it is that you love. So Derek and I obviously love fitness, whether it's teaching people or doing it ourselves on a daily basis. But if we have a love for it, that us sitting in a gym all day even just makes us want to do it even more. Whereas some people, if they sit in a job all day, they're almost like, I can't wait to get out of here. Me and Derek are like, all right, well, I want to work out again. And maybe right now, because we're broke boys, we can't. but yeah, so I find motivation also from trying to be the best coach for the people that come in here and having the best information possible. And I'm only going to do that if I continue down the path that I'm currently continuing down, which is every day trying to push myself, whether that's physically or mentally, gaining knowledge on different aspects of fitness. And that's just, that is the territory of being a practitioner, is just loving what you do and being able to sit around it all day and still go home and think about, like, all right, how can I make this better?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty simple for us. And a cool way to look at it, I'm going to refer to a former colleague of mine, Coach Dean Lieber. And he used to refer to the gym or the facility as a laboratory. And so I think that that's perfect, man. Looking at what we do in here, when we do our own workouts, we're experimenting. We're experimenting with different intended stimuli. We're experimenting with movement patterns. We're experimenting with intensity. We're experimenting with active recovery days. We're experimenting with not doing anything because we're beat up and stressed out. So this is our lab. So we have all this opportunity to work on all these varying aspects of fitness and practicing it. Yeah, there's no problem with taking the opportunity to change a pace to directly work on ourselves as opposed to work with other people as members or clients, however you want to look at that.
Yeah, and I think this kind of goes back into the second question we had from Amy about being a good coach, or can you be a good coach without being a practitioner of sorts? But if you're not, if you don't love what you do, then obviously your 100% attention is not going to go into it. And if your 100% isn't going into it, then there's going to be flaws or mishaps in maybe your own training or just guiding people down that path. And then people are just going to either not be doing the right stuff or just spinning the same wheels all the time. And it's just, we're just not going to get where we want to be. So our last question comes from the Poland boy.
Yo, what up, Poland?
What up, Nick? Nick's question is, what extra steps does the Thrive team take that others don't take to become subject matter experts? And I think we kind of just touched on that. Just being there and attentive every day, and paying attention to the members and treating it like a lab, like it is, instead of just treating it like a gym and just a workout for that day, treating it as things going in, such as like how the members are feeling, what our workouts were the day before, how do we progress on that, talking about the physical aspects, and then like mental aspects is things like Derek always kind of talks to me about being a better coach or instructor on a day-to-day basis. Like, what could I have done better that class? What can I have made better that class? Is there a thing, little things, little details? Because I struggle with details, so like looking at things from a different perspective, thinking about how can you make the experience here better? And that's all going to come with time and learning and being in that setting just as much as possible. And some people don't take the time. Soon as their work week ends or soon as that class hour ends, they're out of the fitness mindset or out of the instructor mindset. And I think that's where practitionership begins, is because when that hour ends, what are you doing after that? Are you immersing yourself in what else you can do better? Or is it like, all right, I got through that class, I'm done?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it still ties back into why we refer to ourselves as practitioners. You know, we are actively engaged in this art or this profession, in the very least, depending on how you look at it. I kind of do look at it a little bit more like an art. So practicing it day in and day out. And then along with that, in terms of our team, is we empower one another to grow and challenge each other without being combative or competitive about it. It's a matter of being like, hey, have you thought about something like this? Hey, have you tried approaching this workout this way? Hey, have you tried eating this way or that way? So we involve all facets of fitness and wellness, and we use those things as ways to help enlighten one another and build that camaraderie so that we can help deliver it to anybody who we have the opportunity to share fitness with. So a big part of it is just working on that synergy and making sure that we're all living fitness and wellness, and not just, oh, I put in my 3 workouts this week and I'm good, like Brandon just said.
Yeah, so like just getting to the point that practitionership is almost the, how do I put it? It's the work almost that you do outside of the regular hour. Because anybody can be an instructor for an hour, or a day or a week, or do a job for a day or a week. But if you really do love it, yeah, if you really do love it and you want to be the best at it, you're going to obviously put in the hours outside of it. Just think of now, if you're working out on a day-to-day basis, if there's something that you want to get better at, you're going to practice it. You're going to find out the best way to make it efficient, more effective. And that's a lot of what me and Derek are putting together now, is making sure that the people we do bring on board are practitioners as well. And I think one of the things that comes along with being a practitioner is being able to form your own opinion. on most things. And that's one thing Derek allowed me to do pretty well, was he kind of told me what's worked for him, but wanted me to do it in my own way. So it's kind of helped me when people come in that we do hire, is like telling them, this is what works for me, this is what has worked for me, this is what hasn't worked for me, but try it, see how it works, and you practice this yourself, and you come up with your best opinion, and then we go from there, talking about whether that's fitness, whether that's instructing somebody on the squat or the deadlift or certain specific cues. Like, things such as cueing come off different from different people, but you're not going to know unless you practice yourself.
Yeah, there's a certain level of obsession. So I think that concludes our questions, right?
Yeah.
So there's something else that I wanted to dive into real quick. We only have a few minutes left, but this is pretty important. As we were sitting down and discussing what we were going to talk about here in this AMTAP, I wrote down this long-winded explanation of why this is so important. And so, being an instructor or a practitioner of fitness, or really anything for that matter, you're looked to in that position for support, for reassurance, and for guidance. So no matter what it is you're a practitioner of, people are coming to you and looking to you for support, reassurance, and guidance. So very basically and fundamentally, that person is seeking you out with some measure of insecurity, which oftentimes comes with a variety of feelings of vulnerability. So that means that someone who's seeking out a practitioner is vulnerable. Yeah, we're vulnerable. Brandon and I are vulnerable. Members that we work with are vulnerable. Everyone is vulnerable. Deal with it. So now, again, this is not something that's exclusive to practitioners of fitness. This is something that I think is important that all practitioners or instructors are aware of, that people are coming to you, they're seeking out your guidance and your counsel. So the thing is this being my life passion, our life passion, really, I think it's essential that we recognize this premise. Another truth that's necessary of being acknowledged is that we all, at the very basic and primitive level of what we are in existence, are physical. So we express this through our fitness. So knowing this exacerbates the essence of our vulnerability in relationship to our fitness or lack thereof. So what we are physically capable of, or what we're not capable of, this makes us very insecure and vulnerable. So because on some level we are aware that our quality of life is intimately tied to our level of fitness, this is something that is really tricky to work with people on. Understanding this leaves me and us feeling responsible for helping anyone that we can with their fitness. Pretty good. All right, yeah, 10 seconds left.
That was a good ending.
Yeah.
End it off there. Let the time run out. 2, 1. All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. Thank you for tuning in. If you have any more.
So I was just gonna say, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I know you're going to go into your spiel and let people know where to find us and how. I just wanted to thank everyone again for joining us. And again, seriously, if you have any questions, we encourage it. Let us know what you're thinking. Give us some feedback. And thanks for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out.
Yeah, and you know what it is. You know who it is. Support Skinny Boy and Derek. At Brandon_ThriveFitnessWellness. And at Thrive Fitness Wellness. Like the Facebook page, YouTube. Go check out the website. Making a bunch of changes on there. And we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks, guys.